This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Invest Talk. It's May 2nd, 2017. This is our 1 hour together, our dialogue, I'm hoping it's a dialogue, meaning you will give me a call about your retirement portfolio, managing your money, growing your money, spending your money, any of those topics. As long as it's financial, we'll talk about it. And I invite your calls. Please call from stocks, bonds, real estate, college savings plan, 529s, Coverdales, IRAs, you name it, we'll talk about it. 888-99-CHARTER is the number, 888-992-4278. Today we're going to share our retirement checklist. That's one of our talking points, our retirement checklist. Investing is an endeavor that involves infinite data points and unlimited opinions. Makes it pretty complex. It's pretty daunting. You got to filter through all this information and make rational decisions with your money. And it's complex. I mean, because it's getting so many different opinions from so many different sources. But you really need two basic things you have to master. And that's the fundamentals of the company and the technicals of the company. And fundamentals are far more important than the technicals. So you start with fundamentals. And then yesterday, Justin talked a little bit about the difference between the two, fundamental and technical analysis. It's extremely important. You need to have these tools in your toolbox if you're going to manage your own money. Technical is all about buying and selling points, okay? Charting, all that stuff, okay? That's important too. But fundamental analysis is the hardest to grasp, and there's a lot of factors that you got to consider. Qualitative factors and quantitative factors. Qualitative analysis means all those factors are getting a grasp on attributes of the company, like their strength of their brand, the quality of their patents, the leadership, their industry position, strategy, their technology edge. Quantitative analysis relates to any factor that you can put a number on. Sales growth, balance sheet, income, debt, growth trends, cash flows, profitability, margins, numbers. You can put numbers on all these. Okay, so that's the quantitative analysis. So it's qualitative and quantitative when you're talking about the fundamentals. Technical analysis, again, it's a breakdown of the price trend of the stock. All investors want their stock to go up in the short term and in the long term, right? We all want our stocks to go up when we buy them. Well, I wish it was that simple. It's just not. Never has been. So remember, there's dozens of reasons for stocks to move up or down. Dozens. Doesn't have to be anything to do with picking the wrong stock either. It could be the environment you're in. It could be just bad news out there. You just don't know. Anyways, don't want to beat that in the ground, but these are things you got to learn. Technical and fundamental analysis. And fundamentals is about quantitative and qualitative factors about the company. Now, do you have a question about fundamental technical analysis? Or any money question? Our Invest Talk listener line is always open, 888-99-CHART. So let's check in with our 24-hour line right now.
Hi, my name is Mike with Tracy, California. Just started to listen to your podcast recently. Great show. Thank you. My question is it best to reinvest your dividends back into the company or take your dividends and reinvest it to other possible opportunities? Thank you. Have a good day.
Now, that's a good question, but it's almost impossible to answer because when you ask the question, what is better than the other, there's no answer. There's one is not better than the other. I can tell you what I prefer because it makes my life simpler, and that is not reinvest the dividends into the company that paid the dividends. Why is that simpler? Because it keeps my cost basis at a certain amount. Whatever I bought, I bought 100 shares at X amount of dollars per share. So I know exactly what my cost basis is. And then when the dividends come in, I go out and look for another company. Now, that doesn't mean just because I like it that way, it doesn't mean you can't reinvest the dividends into your company. You can. There's nothing wrong with it. But it tends to make them get distorted. It means that it may become unbalanced because you're buying more and more shares of the same company. So it's just a what do you prefer kind of answer. What's your preference? My preference is not to reinvest them in the same company. Okay? 888-99-CHART, a critical checklist for retirees. That's going to be one of our main talking points today. There was an article in one of the newspapers today about buybacks. I want to talk about stock buybacks. Okay, this was in the Financial Times this morning. Stock buybacks. We want to talk about that as well as, you know, the checklist. Also, have you noticed that bonds and stocks are rising together? Now, if you've been a student of this show, you'll know that that's odd. That's odd. And have you checked out the fear gates lately? I'm going to talk about all those bond stocks and the fear gates. Also, how to be rich, how to become rich, how to sustain a rich attitude to get wealthy. And the first one is really easy. The first answer to that, how to be and get rich, is easy. It's invest when others are fearful. That's, you know, that's a very common saying put out there by Warren Buffett. But that saying has been around for hundreds of years. He didn't invent that saying, that philosophy. He did not. But what else should you do? And those are a little bit different. What else should you do in your own personal life to become and maintain and stay rich? That's going to be a talking point too. But what is it you want to talk about? The market was up today. The Dow was up 35, the NASDAQ up 4, and the S&P up 3. I mean, that's pretty much a flat day, but it was on the upside. So that was okay. It's getting NASDAQ is new highs. The Dow and the S&P are within 1% of a new high. Okay. It's getting kind of interesting. And earnings have been some part of the driver of this. The earnings have been pretty good. Pretty good. So what do you want to talk about? What's the market doing? What do you think it's going to go? Everybody wants to know that, right? Everybody wants to look at that crystal ball and say, where is the market going to go? I can tell you for sure, positively positive, the market is going to go up. I can also tell you 100% sure the market is going to go down. But I can also guarantee you that it's more likely to go up than down, because that, based on history, that's what it always does. And it's always the timing of these things. When? How long? How far? That's what everybody's trying to guess. That's almost impossible. You can't time the market. But you always have to have a bias to the upside, knowing full well that there will be big corrections and bear markets, but the bias is always to the upside, so you should keep that bias always to the upside. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. The individual investor should act consistently as an investor and not a speculator. That's Ben Graham. You know who Ben Graham is? You should. He's the father of value investing. Investors can't predict the future. Base your decisions on facts and analysis rather than risky speculated forecasts. Let's talk about it. It's open line. 888-99-CHART is our number. We call it the live listener line every day, 4 to 5 Pacific time.
Hello, good afternoon. This message is by Steve or Justin. I'm Saeed from Illinois. I was wondering about PFF. iShares US Preferred Stock ETF. I really like to buy it for dividend yield is 5.64. It's pretty steady. So what do you think? Is it a good time to buy or just buy and hold for a couple of years? And I need your thought about it. Thank you. I love your show.
Okay, this is P as in Paul, F as in Frank, F as in Frank. PFF iShares, U.S. Preferred Stocks, exchange-traded funds seeking performance corresponding to the S&P Preferred Stock Index. And this is the kind of thing that you buy and hold. You don't trade it. You don't try to get in and out. I mean, if you're going to buy it, I'd say you don't buy it for 2 years. I'd say you buy it for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, because you're buying it for the dividend. It pays 5.6% right now. Now, I will say this. This will go down when interest rates go up, and it will go up when interest rates go down, because it's preferred stocks, which are more act more like bonds quite often. And right now, it's at a 52-week high. I would not buy here. It's at $38.90. There's not a big range. I mean, the low is $36. The high is $38. So it's kind of steady. But I'd like to see it go down. The reason why I wouldn't buy here is because it goes back to one of my talking points, bonds and stocks, because interest rates are on the rise by the Fed. The Federal Reserve is going to raise rates. Okay. Usually that hurts bonds and hurts preferred stocks. Hurts usually. Meanwhile, this is making new highs. Well, if the Fed's raising rates, why is it making new highs? It's odd that it's doing so. So I like the position. I do, especially for the dividends, 5.6%. I think it's great. But I'd probably wait for a pullback. We had a pullback in March. And ever since that pullback in March, the thing's been marching straight up. So wait for another pullback. It'll give it to you and buy it on the pullback. Don't be afraid of it when it pulls back. Buy it on that pullback. Okay, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what are some of the checklists for retirement? First thing you should think about, very first thing, are you sure you want to retire? Be sure. I've had several clients retire, then want to go back, and they can't go back. Mostly because they're very high paid salaries and they replace them with the lower salaries and they're certainly not going to want you back. So be sure you want to retire. That's number one. Can you afford it? Number two, once you decide, yeah, I want to retire. Mm-hmm, I definitely want to retire. Well, can you afford it? Be certain of that too. If you have any doubts, don't retire. And ask me or ask somebody like me whether you have the money, the finances. You know, I've got all kinds of software that help you, and it's free. All you have to do is work through the numbers. It's all free. You don't have to pay me. It don't cost anything. You know, I got that kind of software to determine if you have enough to retire. So once you know you want to retire, and then you got to figure out how much money have you retire. When you do that in retirement, you have to create an investment plan. Okay, you just can't, you got to still have investments. They may be more conservative, but that money has to last. So it has to grow. Okay, it's got to. And one thing people don't really take in consideration is expenses that might go up in retirement. And one of them, the biggest question mark is healthcare expenses. Healthcare. Even if you have Medicare, I don't care. Medicare doesn't cover everything. Anyways, those are some of the things you have to consider. There's an article where I'm referring to that talks about a little bit on our website. You can take a look. It's kind of interesting. And really, when I talk to all these people, my first question is sure you want to retire? Retirement is stop doing what you have to do and go do what you want to do. That could be the same thing, making the same money. I do. That's what I did. Same thing. But now you just have a different mindset. Okay. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm Steve Peasley. The number is 888-99-CHART. You can reach me right now if you like. I'm live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Any money question is welcome.
Hi, love the show. Thanks for doing it. This is Paul from Virginia. I've made a mistake of being too heavily invested in my company stock within my 401k. In this case, Gannett, symbol GCI. Hope you don't scold me too much, but about 45% of my 401k is in GCI stock, cost average at about $12. The other 55% is spread around various mutual funds and bonds. I've got about 20 years to go before I plan to retire, so I'm not panicking too much, but what are some strategies for easing out of this big position? Thanks much.
Okay, actually, that's a very good question. A lot of people have this problem. And you've got, if you have time, we can work our way out of it. Gannett Company, GCI, is a big, big company, okay? It's, well, let me rephrase that. It's about a $1 billion company. Publishes 92 daily publications, digital platforms in the United States. It's a very low price stock because everybody's moving away from paper. And that's one of the problems they have. So you need to get out. I'm concerned about this industry because the internet and is destroying paper. Remember, 92 daily publications. So I think you want to be a little bit more active in getting out. Right now, it's at $8.28. Okay. So it's going to make $1.07 next year. So it tells you it's a low PE. But the reason why it's a low PE is because everybody knows that this industry is under a lot of pressure. Sales have actually gone up, though, 17% last quarter, about 17% the quarter before that, 10% all growth before that. So it's not bad. There's nothing, you know, their company and is very low. They have very low debt, pays a very high dividend. So there's some good factors. What you want to do is you want to always sell it on up moves. Okay. Just keep selling. I think you'll get a bounce. You're going to get a bounce. You're probably going to get it up close to $10. And when you get to $10, you sell some. And then you just constantly sell it on up. If it goes higher than 10, it goes to 11, sell some more. Goes to 12, sell some more. When it goes down, you just calm down your selling. Don't ever have anything more than about, you know, 10% of your portfolio. Not your company stock should never be more than that. It's very, very risky. Very, very risky. So, you know, you need to figure out a way to start getting out and do it slowly on little rallies. I mean, it rallied to $9 four or five days ago. It got up to there from the $8, and that would have been a good time to take some off the table. So every time it does that, every time it goes up over 9, then to 10, sell some. Now, is it going to go back to 14? Well, it could, but your odds are not good. Not necessarily. I would be a seller. Let's go to Noel in Napa. How you doing, Noel?
Good. A little toasty up here, but it's good. Anyhow, I was interested in AMD, Advanced Micro Devices. It went down supposedly about 24% today. I've been watching it, thinking about it, and I thought, well. Projection today, I guess, but then just because one analyst didn't like it, it went down 24%. But another analyst thinks it's a buy. So, what do you think on that
one? Well, I kind of like the stock. Mm-hmm. It went down about 24% after it posted its fiscal first quarter operating results. The headline numbers did meet expectations, with revenues going up $984 million, and the stock got crushed. I like the story so far. So why? Okay, this is looking deeper in the figures. Gross profit margin rose 2% points to 34. That's good. On the other hand, research and development expenses surged higher, and cash flow sank due to debt payments. And okay, from what I see, and I'm reading real fast, right? You know. From what I see, okay. This is a reason to buy the stock going down 24% mm-hmm. for no reason. So this is probably, I wouldn't buy it tomorrow, Noel. I would not buy it tomorrow. You want to see it settle down a little bit, but the 200-day moving average is $9.75, and it went to $10.32. My fear is it closed right at the low today, which means there might still be more pressure on the downside tomorrow. But the numbers are good. They're very good, but don't think the stock is necessarily cheap because the 2018 earnings is only 30 cents a share and it's a $10 stock. So that is like a 30 PE, but the sales growth is doing well. The sales and earnings are going in the right directions for a change. So you just got to wait till the stock's falling, Noel, and then jump in. Okay?
Wait till what?
It stops falling. That means you want it to see it go sideways for a few days to a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, their big competition, I guess, is Intel, which is pretty tough. But
the numbers look pretty solid. They're coming back.
But I don't see any reason why you shouldn't buy it just because Intel is a tough competition.
No. It doesn't mean that you can't have two successful companies in the same sector, same area.
Sure.
I think AMD looks good.
Okay, I like your advice. I'm going to follow that.
Okay, good luck with it. AMD, everybody. And again, it's not cheap necessarily. It's just, remember, you're always looking for a turnaround. It looks like they put it around. And why it fell sharply? Well, maybe it was one of those cases of, you're buying the rumor and selling the news. The news came out, everybody sold it off.
Our podcast continues next. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial. It's all about growth for the investor who is looking for optimum growth and is not averse to a higher level of risk. This investment program steps up. It's called Disciplined Equity from KPP Financial. This addition to our selected investment programs raises expectations. It targets focused growth for maximum returns. This strategy offers a consistent exposure to the equity markets by focusing only on high-quality companies. So if you'd like to know more about it, click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com whenever you're ready, or click on Contact Steve and he'll be glad to fill you in. Now let's get back to the podcast. Invest Talk continues on this Tuesday. On our Wednesday Invest Talk, green bonds are used to finance projects or initiatives having an environmental or social component, a new way to invest in the business of the environment. That's next time, but we're still working on today. So what's your question on any money topic? Call us, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Love to hear from you. Give me a call. This morning I was reading the papers, and as you know, I read several papers every day. And then Financial Times today, and there was an article that caught my attention. I said, I need to talk to people about share buybacks because, the share buybacks plan for this year has fallen to the lowest since 2012. Now, share buybacks is where the corporations buy their own shares. And they have been for years now supporting stock prices, those share buybacks. Okay. They authorized $146 billion in share buybacks this year, 2017. That's down 15% from last year. And last year was down 6% from the year before. Okay. So it's a little bit more than 6%. So the problem is they've been a pillar of the 10 years of the market going higher was companies buying their own shares. Even when earnings were not very good, companies were buying their own shares. And now companies are buying less and less the last 2 years. And we're down 26-27% in the last 2 years. Now, it's not disastrous, but it certainly means the pressure is coming off from companies buying their own shares. So that pressure has to come from somewhere else to replace it. If the market hopes to go higher, it's got to come from someplace else. So I think it's something that we all need to pay attention to. There's a lot of little red flags are waving that's making me quite nervous about the market. Now, of course, to be fair, I'm always nervous about the market. There's never a time where I say, I think the markets are going to keep going up and I don't have to worry about it. The time that when I do that, if that ever happens to me, that's the time the market's going to go down. But I do think we need to consider that with the reduction of the pressure from share buybacks, what we have to do is there has to be pressure from somewhere. And it might be from foreign money coming in. It could take place. It might be from there's a lot of cash on the sidelines still from investors who are worried about the market, maybe to come from there. But there certainly is one tranche of money coming into stocks that is being reduced, and that's the share buybacks. And don't mistake, you know, I can talk about fundamentals. I can talk about technicals. I can talk about the stocks and how good the stock is or bad the stock is. But only more money coming into the market will push stocks up higher. When I'm talking about the market. Yeah, individual companies can go higher or lower based on their own circumstances. But for the market to go up, generally, you need cash to come into it. That cash has to come from somewhere. Okay? Now let's get back to our 24-hour anytime listener line and pick up a question. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Ryan from State College, Pennsylvania. And I have a question regarding a company called Public Storage. The ticker symbol is PSA. I know it's a REIT, and I know typically you guys try to avoid REITs, but this one, they have one-month contracts, so they're able to adjust prices pretty quickly. So I was wondering what your evaluation of the company was, and also how exactly to evaluate a REIT. I know I read an article that said it was a little bit different to evaluate the fundamentals for a REIT, so just wondering if you could provide any information on that. Thanks, and enjoy your show. Bye.
Yeah, REITs are a bit different. They're real estate investment trusts, and to be qualified for that, you have to be in the property business of some kind, you know, in some way. And it has to pay 90% of its income, its net income, out in the form of a dividend to you, the shareholder. And if it does qualify and does do that, then they don't have to pay corporate income tax. Only you do. You have to pay income tax on the money you make. Now, PSA, Public Storage, it's a REIT, acquires, owns, and operates 2,277 self-storage facilities in the United States. REITs, are looked at a little bit different because we look at funds from operations, FFO, funds from operations instead of earnings. It's just a different way to look at it, and I can't go into all the details, but it's just a different way to look at. This REIT pays 3.9%. And one of the reasons why we're nervous about REITs is because usually REITs fund themselves with debt. And debt, you know, despite the Federal Reserve is going to be raising debt going forward, but it's going to be pretty slow. And here you are, interest rates are very, very low, even though the Fed has raised the rates a couple of times. So I wouldn't be afraid of a REIT depending on where it is in the marketplace. For instance, PSA has very low debt. So you don't have to worry or fear that the rising debt is going to hurt the company too much because they don't have that much. Now, as a REIT paying 3.9%, that's fairly low yield, but it's a pretty secure yield too. Now, the stock has gotten hurt pretty good, down from 230, 235 down to 207 in the last 2-3 weeks. So it's got hit pretty good, and my guess would be earnings. I don't know. If it gets down to the 200 area, which is a lot of support down there, so it's really close. So when it starts moving sideways, that's when you want to pick this up. PSA, Public Storage. I kind of like the company because they don't have a lot of debt, and it's just an income earner. It's just an income earner. Now, here's an interesting investing program designed for sagging 401ks. It's called Active 401k. I've talked about it before. It helps you make the best choices within your employer's specific plan based on current trends and long-term performance. Each quarter, you'll receive a suggested allocation listing an Active 401k. It'll list all the recommended selections every quarter, how you should change. And it's based on your personal risk tolerance too. So if you want to check it out, log into it, you can go to our retirement plan website to make the changes. And you'll always stay in control. If it sounds interesting, you can see more about it at investtalk.com. Just click on the Invest Talks tab.
You really can't assemble and maintain the right retirement portfolio if you don't have a clear and honest understanding of your risk tolerance. Steve and Justin highly recommend our free risk analysis tool. Step one just takes about 3 minutes to complete. If you want to go to the next step, we can help you determine if your present portfolio is a good fit for you right now. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab.
Well, we know that the stocks have been up, right? The NASDAQ making new highs, the Dow and S&P really close to their 52-week highs. And bonds also have gone high, making close to new highs, meaning interest rates have fallen. So it's very unusual where bonds interest rates fall while the stock market is going up. It's very interesting when the value of bonds go up because interest rates are falling. So the bonds are going up in value and stocks are going up in value. Usually they don't go together. Usually if the stocks are going up, bonds are going down and vice versa. Because of what's happening here is bonds generally go down in value when interest rates rise and the Fed has been raising interest rates. Well, but the Fed is raising, can only control one interest rate, not all interest rates. And the rest of the interest rates are going down. So the value of bonds are going up. So you have this odd situation where bond values are going up and stock values are going up. And at the same time, you have the fear gauge, the VIX. The fear gauge making a 10-year low, meaning there's no fear, very little fear in the marketplace. Okay. I'm telling you, there's that old saying, Warren Buffett, you buy when everybody is fearful and you sell when everybody's greedy. And no one's fearful right now. Is everybody greedy? My feeling is, yeah, they are. I think we need to be pretty nervous about this market as it continues high. I will tell you this. If the Trump administration doesn't come through with their tax cuts, and or they didn't come through with their spending, infrastructure spending, if they don't come through with these things not too far down the road, the market is not going to like it. The market has lots of patience, but... Those things have to happen. It's the only thing that really pushing the stock prices up. Yeah, earnings are doing better, but they're not doing good enough to justify the prices that we're sitting at. It's just not, it's not that good. So I think we all should be a bit fearful right now. That doesn't mean you get out of the market. I'm not telling you to get out of the market. No, because we can't time the market. All I'm saying is, wouldn't hurt to take some profits on things that's done very well. Wouldn't hurt to sit on a little cash. Now, here's an investing term you should know. What does sell in May and go away mean? Sell in May and go away is a well-known trading adage that warns investors to sell their stock holdings in May to avoid a seasonal decline in equity markets, usually the summer. Sell in May and go away strategy is where an investor sells his stock holdings in May and gets back in that stock holdings and back in the equity market in November. Because from November to May is the best time of the year for stocks. Been known for years and years and years. Doesn't mean the other part, the market goes down. It means it just doesn't go up as fast or as well. It does. We have seen a lot of collapses between May and November in the market over the years. Okay, for instance, do you remember what the 1987 crash was when the market went down 20% one day? Remember what date that was? I can give it to you since I have the Wall Street Journal of that day in my hand. It happened October 20th, 1987. Market went down 20% one day. So it has a history of a problem that the summer 6 months. So that's where that came from. It's just a historical pattern. That's all it is. Doesn't mean it has to be true, by the way. It doesn't have to be true going forward, but that's where that saying came from. Go away in May. Now to see more in-depth definition examples, just go over to our friends at investopedia.com.
A quick reminder, if there's a term that you hear mentioned on the program but you're unclear about what it means or you have a question about it, we want you to ask. It's very likely that you're not the only one with that same question. 888-99-CHART.
I have a question. The difference between par value and book value. I would appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Okay. Par value, you're talking about bonds. Book value, you're talking about the value of a company. Okay, they're apples and oranges. You can't compare the two. So par value is what a bond is issued. It's issued at par. And usually they're expressed in, you know, $100, $1,000, $10,000, intervals. So a stock bond is issued at par at 10,000, and it goes up and down in value based on what the interest rates do. So that's bonds. Book value is, if you sell the company's all its assets, pay off all its liabilities, that's what the company's worth, book value. Sell the company, all the assets, pay off all the debt, what's left, that's book value. Okay, two different things, apple and oranges, everybody. Apple and oranges. Even more than that, it might not be a fruit. It might be a fruits and vegetables, apples and let's say apples and broccoli. Very different things. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. How to get rich, stay rich. And it's not about necessarily your investing, but that is one of the ways. Invest when others are fearful. That's one way you can get rich. But it's broader than that. One of the ways that you can get rich and stay rich is make yourself indispensable to your customers, to your boss, to anybody that you're dealing with financially. Make yourself so valuable they seek you out. They want to have you as either a partner or employee or something. Make yourself indispensable. And what does that mean? That means you have to know your facts. You have to know your numbers. You have to be educated. You have to be smart in whatever field of endeavor you choose. Make sure you know the facts, because it's easy for people to ferret out someone who's just blowing smoke. So I can tell you from personal experience, when I worked for insurance companies way back when in my first job in New York City, that was a key to my being successful in the insurance industry. Was I really was worked hard at making myself like the expert in the office in a certain specific area of insurance. And I worked hard at that, took classes at, and then I got to be known. Well, you got to go ask Steve for that. He's the guy to ask. So make yourself indispensable. Now, unfortunately, working for insurance companies, I didn't realize at the time, is not going to make you rich. Insurance companies do not pay very much money. But it was the path I took. You're listening to Invest Talk. You help me. You really help me keep it on track to what you want to talk about. So give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, my name is Gary. I'm calling from Massachusetts. I listen to you by podcast. My question is UTG. It's the Reeves Utility Income Fund. What do you think of this fund for pure dividend play? Thank you very much.
Well, you don't ever have to worry about the dividends. It pays 5.5% dividend yield. It is a closed-end fund investing in domestic and foreign utility companies. That's what they invest in. And they do it for income and some capital appreciation, but mostly income. Now, it's at a 52-week high, so you're buying it at a high mark. But if you're buying it for the yield, it's 5.5%. Yield's probably going to be pretty steady. There's a lot of insiders buying when the price was $27 to $28. A lot. It was there July, August, September, October, November, December last year. When it was around $27, $28, insiders were buying it like crazy. They're not buying it so much now because it's gone up to $34.82. So you could wait for a pullback. You could buy half your position here, and you know you're going to get that 5.5% or so. You could do whatever you like. But utilities usually work very good when economies start to tank. They usually don't go down with, the stock market when there's a recession. They hold up pretty well in recessions usually because of the dividends, and everybody still needs utilities. no matter what. UTG is a symbol, buddy, everybody, UTG. So, you know, it's a little pricey for me, and I don't know if I'd buy it here, but you could buy it here and you'd be fine. Now, anybody see the earnings after hours? Apple came out. They were a little disappointed in their earnings on Apple, but other companies came out. The earnings have been pretty strong this season. And here we are, the beginning of May. So the first quarter earnings, of course, first quarter ended March 31st. So we're now pretty much about two-thirds of the way through earnings season. And the earnings have been very strong, comparatively speaking. But at the same time, GDP for the first quarter only came in at 0.7%. I think Justin talked about it yesterday. And that's pretty weak. And retail sales for the first quarter was okay. Wasn't strong. It was just okay. So, you know, it's hard to say. I've been saying and been writing in our newsletter that the economy has been picking up, but the economic numbers out this week are a little bit soft. And we've seen certain areas being soft in our economy, especially for the first quarter. Everybody's anticipating stronger second, third, and fourth quarter. And I guarantee you we're going to have a stronger second quarter for various reasons. But without tax cuts and without infrastructure spending, the stock market is not going to keep going up. It's going to have a problem with that. It's already priced in tax cuts and infrastructure spending. It's priced in that. And we don't see that. There's not happening yet. Now, the market might be patient, but there's a point where it will say, not anymore. So keep an eye on that. And I hate to say it, but politics do play a role in the stock market. They can't avoid it. Now, tomorrow's talking points, we're going to talk about green bonds. Green bonds are used to finance products or initiatives having an environmental or social component. It's a new way to invest in the business of the environment. Is that how you should invest? Is it a good idea? I mean, when I say good idea, I'm saying, is it a good idea to grow your money by investing in green projects? And that's where, you know, it bumps up against my reality. If it is, well, I'm okay with it. I'm fine. Everybody wants a good environment. Everybody does. But we're going to talk about that in more depth tomorrow. Okay? There's lots of things coming up this summer. We got North Korea. We got Russia and Syria. We got the different policies coming out of Washington, D.C. Lots of things that could disrupt our market this summer. So I think everybody, we all have to be diligent here. We really got to be diligent coming up in the next few months. Our hour's gone, everybody. I hope it's been a good use of your time. I thank you for listening and joining in. You can reach me directly with a question or comment. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. I will get back to you. That's an email that comes directly to my desk. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, I want to thank you for being with us today. Let's plan on getting together tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.